We're continuing Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And I posted this on Podbean last week. I posted my talks on Podbean, and somebody commented and said, wow, that's a really cool take on prosperity. And it occurred to me that, once again, a lot of people still think that prosperity is just what?
Money,
exactly. That's what most people think. And that is not prosperity. That is one leg of a four-legged table. If you've just got money, you're not prosperous. So let's go through the four spiritual laws of prosperity and remember once again. Say this out loud. Prosperity is, say it, a vitally alive physical body to provide a comfortable worldly home for the spiritual beings that we are. Prosperity is also relationships that are satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. Prosperity is work that we love so much that it's not play, but work, it's play. And lastly, prosperity is
all the money you can spend.
Our culture, our society wants us to believe that number four is all there is. We live in a consumer economy. We have two jobs, produce and consume, produce and consume. That's what we're here for in our economy. And to desire more and more money causes us to produce more and to spend more. So there's a real misunderstanding as to what prosperity is. Prosperity, if you've got a lot of money but you hate your job, you are not a prosperous person. If you've got a lot of money but you hate your kids and you hate everybody else, you are not a prosperous person. I once read that somebody said that everybody has this hidden desire, and I don't know if this is true or not, to be free. And to them, free, most people, free means I got enough money that I can walk away from anybody at any time. Just because we all simultaneously crave to be around and desire people, and yet people are what most of our problems about. Can I get an amen? I was a minister in a church for 5 years and did probably 5 to 10 counseling sessions a week with people. And in every case, it was about relationships. In every single case, it was about relationships. And so let's go to the next slide, because this is what we're going to talk about today, relationships. And I want to talk specifically about Edwin's choice of words, because I thought they were spectacular. And I'm going to repeat them to you. She says that relationships should be satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. Let me say that again. Satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. I wrote a book called Complaint-Free Relationships, which was a bestseller internationally. And I have created a game on relationships. I have studied relationships. I have read books on relationships. And I'm here to tell you that relationships are probably the most confusing thing in the world. And I think intentionally so. I think it is part of divine appointment that relationships are so complex. Because on the one hand, we are so drawn to people. We need people. I don't mean want, I mean need people. We literally, people, children have died from failure to thrive simply because they were not hugged and kissed enough in the cradle. We need other human beings. We need their touch. We need their energy. We need to be around them. And in that, we build our relationships. And unfortunately, we build some pretty messy relationships sometimes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Have you done that? Built a messy relationship? Raise your hand. If you're not, somebody reach over and smack them one. Because we all have, it's true. When I sat down and tried to figure out, because in my mind, okay, this is me. I believe in a supreme deity, okay? And I believe that that deity has some sort of a reason for everything. And that deity could even express itself as evolution. I mean, it could evolve and everything just sort of makes sense. And so I'm like, why do we need people? But as Jean-Paul Sartre, the great French philosopher, said, hell is other people. Okay? Hell is other people. It's what gets on our nerves. It's what upsets us. All your work problems are other people problems. All your problems tend to be other people. So I said, what are relationships for? And I think that there's two things relationships are for. Number one, first and foremost, every relationship is to have fun. I truly believe that. A relationship is to have fun. And by that, I mean you are to get something enjoyable from it. You get something you enjoy from it. Let me ask you a question. Do some people enjoy arguing? Yeah. So do you think they get that from relationships they're in? They enjoy the argument. So they're having fun. They're choosing that, but that's just their way of being in relationship. Some people, that's just, we all know the family dynamic. You know, this person's upset with this person, that person's upset with that person, that person's upset with that person, so everybody's happy. Right? Relationships are here for us to have fun. And by fun, I also mean looking at that person's smile, looking at the world through their way of looking at the world. Also, just being around that person. Hopefully, they're funny, they're interesting, they're attractive. If we're in a love relationship or an intimate relationship, we're supposed to have fun in relationships. And that's what they're for. People draw us to them because that looks like it could be fun being with that person. Then there's the second part, which I think is the real part. Relationships are for us to grow. There is no greater laboratory on the planet than to put you on a planet where you strongly desire to be around and with other people and need them. Need them at work, you need them in a family, you need them, and yet for some reason they will just get on your last nerve. So you spend your life in that delicate balance. Because what we discover in most relationships, what needs to change isn't the relationship, it's what? Say it like you mean it. Us. Us. If somebody else was in that same relationship with that same person, it would be a different relationship, wouldn't it? Say yes. Absolutely, it would be a different relationship. So who or who needs to change in almost every case in the relationship? Don't you hate that? I got good news and bad news, and it's the same news. The good news is, it's you. The bad news is, it's you. It's you. And it's so funny, as I sat down writing about this morning and working over the last few days to prepare this, I was like, I've got 20, 25 minutes to share with them something really powerful about relationships. And then I went, I think I need to do a four-week series. So I'm really just going to touch on some things that I think are very pivotal for us to consider if we want to have relationships that are satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. First of all, relationships are so we can what? Have fun and grow. Just take that in. Just consider that. That relationships are for us to have fun and grow. And then I realized there's two different types of relationships. Number one is voluntary. Voluntary is friendships. Voluntary is where you work. Voluntary is clubs and associations. Anything you do that you make a choice to do is a voluntary relationship. Boy, does that sound elemental? It is pretty elemental. Yeah. It's a what kind of relationship? Voluntary. It used to amaze me when people would come to me for counseling and complain constantly about their work and not want to hear about either improving it or leaving it. They just wanted to complain about it. And I would think, you're the one with the problem. You're in a job you hate in a free society with marketable skills. This is your problem. Or people who will come to me and talk about a relationship they're in and go over and over and over, and it's obvious that they are not satisfied, nurtured, or having an honest relationship, and yet all they want to complain. And I think, nobody's making you stay in this relationship. I say that just to free you up. To free you up in your relationships, to realize the incredible godlike power you have to choose your life by choosing your relationships. It's been proven that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Take that in for a second. Does that make you want to choose? I see some of you going, oh my God. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. That one's got to go. You are an aggregate of the five people. You're around their energy. These are voluntary relationships. If you're complaining about them, there's something wrong with you. Something about you that needs to change. They're voluntary. That's why in any voluntary relationship, we should choose as if our lives depend on it. If we're going to date somebody, choose as if your life depends on it. Because we're energy beings. That person is energy. You're energy. You sleep in that person's energy. Think about that. You're around that person all the time. Studies have proven that we get to be more and more like the people we're around. The U.S. Air Force discovered, do you know what the number one predictor is of the overall level of fitness of a group of recruits that they bring in? Let me say that again. The number one predictor of the overall level of fitness of a group of recruits that they will bring in is the fitness level of the least fit recruit. The least fit recruit. Everyone else sort of slows down for that person. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you want to be in a happy, you want to have a happy life, you need to be hanging around with happy people. If you want to have a fit life, you need to hang around with fit people. Spiritual life, spiritual people. And ideally, figure out what it is you want in your life in all areas and only hang out with people like that. You want to have a great, fun job and also be a spiritual person? Do you know that Google offers free meditation rooms and for every one of their employees? And of their 30,000 employees, they're all allowed to take free meditation classes? Go work for Google. I'm not kidding. Don't sit here and complain about how miserable your life is, your relationships. These are voluntary relationships. Choose them well because you are going to become more and more like that person. The thing I love most about me and Marty is that we're a lot alike. And by that I mean we're both insane learners, readers. We're always trying to sort of hack life, you know, figure out how to do it better. Marty always says, I want to get it right, you know? And that's what I admire so much about her. And she and I were trying to figure out what is it in a relationship that's most important, that really keeps a relationship going if it's going to go. And I think we've hit on something. If nothing else, it's a good theory, so take this in. It's how much you admire the other person. Not how cute you are, that's nice. Not how desirable they are. That's good. Not how intelligent, ethical, clean, neat, whatever. How much do you admire that person? So in voluntary relationships, ask yourself, how much do I ascribe to be like that person? How much do I admire them? And if not, just remember it's a voluntary relationship. Because we do have what I call compulsory relationships. Compulsory relationships are relationships we are born into or have thrust upon us. Compulsory relationships are our families, of course, but it also can become our step families, and that's what I mean by thrust upon us. I was very, very fortunate in that I knew and had a relationship with Star several years before Marty and I even started dating. When Leah, my daughter, was 9 years old, this was way before Marty and I ever thought about being together. Leah was nine. She was Marty's yoga assistant. She used to go around and rub feet at nine. So we were very fortunate when this relationship got thrust upon us. The thing about a compulsory relationship is it is not voluntary, and so it's a lot more fluid. We have to, and sometimes, lower our expectations. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes, and in sometimes, we just have to extricate people who, even though they're family, we just don't are not in their energy. I was thrilled. I just stood there in my bedroom and tears coming down my face the other day, watching the Confederate flag come down in South Carolina. I'm from there. My father was a lobbyist in that state house. I grew up on those state house grounds. I played on them every Saturday. I'd take the Oaklawn bus, go to the movies, get comics, and I'd go sit on that state house ground. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the way, I'm not one of those ministers who's going to hold back what I believe. If you don't like me, that's okay. But what's interesting is I have cousins, and I mean first cousins, and other relatives who were not glad to see that flag come down and who did not like my celebratory posts. I mean, these are kids I played with who are now parents, guys I played in a band with. Sometimes compulsory relationships, you just have to set a little better boundaries. But you still got them. So if the one thing that we're all going to change is what? Ourselves. And what we're after is relationships that are satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. Let's break down what Edwin's talking about. Because I don't think we know. Raise your hand if you want a satisfactory relationship. Raise your hand. Yes, okay. Raise your hand if you want a nurturing relationship. Everybody, good. How about honest? Okay, let's look the words up. That's what I did. Satisfy, to meet the expectations, needs, or desires. Your relationships meet your needs, expectations, or desires. I think in relationships, we tend to get in trouble with the expectation part. Either our expectations are too high of the other person, and we're constantly wanting them, you know, better, 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 or our expectations are too low, and we settle, and we settle, and that's a shame. Relationships that are satisfying and nurturing. The word nurture means... Now, when I thought nurture, you know what I always think? A mother holding a baby. That's what I always think when I hear the words nurture, a mother holding a baby. The word nurture means encourage the growth and development of. It means to encourage the growth and development of. Take that in for a second. How nurturing are your relationships? Are the people you're in relationships with, especially voluntary relationships, encouraging your growth? Encouraging you to grow? How do we grow, by the way? What has to happen for us to grow?
Change.
Mary nailed it. Change. We have to change. And most people, the last thing they want is the person they're in a relationship is to do what?
Change.
A relationship that is nurturing is a relationship where the other person is okay with us growing and changing, and we want that for them as well. And then lastly, it's a relationship that is honest. And honest means free of deceit. It doesn't mean brutally honest, as I've said before. There's no such thing as brutally honest. There's brutality and there's honesty. But it's a relationship that you know that that person will tell you the truth. So how do we get to relationships that are nurturing, satisfying, and honest? Well, the first thing we do is we make sure that when we're in a relationship, we are those things. We attempt to express satisfaction more than we express dissatisfaction. By the way, the magic ratio is 13 to 1. You need to tell people, I love you, I like you, I'm happy, this is great, etc., 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 13 times before you say, please put the tube on the toothpaste. That is truly a magic number. You don't have to count it. Just make sure that you've got at least 10 more. I love you. You're beautiful. You're great. You're special. You're wonderful. By the way, hoggity-doggity, moving right on. Because if you don't ever give anybody feedback you're in a close relationship with, studies have found, they don't think you care. They don't think they can trust you. They expect you to tell you occasionally. If they've got something on their face they can't see, they expect that. But they don't expect you to constantly walking in looking for something to point out. So number one, we want to be satisfied. Number two, we want to be nurturing. What is nurturing? To encourage someone else's growth. Friends, this is hard. When Marty says, I want to go to Yoga Journal for a week, I go, I don't want my Marty to leave for a week. How am I going to eat? Who am I going to talk to at night? You know, all this goes through my mind. Okay, but I still want to go, great, have a wonderful time. And, you know, when she goes and has trips with Star and Ian, go. I encourage that. And that was a place for us to get to. And now I'm going off and doing all these conferences and seminars, and she's like, go, great. The way we get nurtured is to nurture. Anything we give, we're going to get back. So when we give people encouragement to grow, we get it back. And lastly, we're honest. Not what honest? Brutally honest. What are we? Honest. You know, I love you. I think you're sweet. I think it's great that you always turn off the lights at night and that you always feed the dog. It hurt my feelings when you said this yesterday. But other than that, because if you don't tell somebody you've hurt their feelings, they don't know. We have this wonderful thing in relationships where we expect the other person to be a mind reader. And then we get irritated when they're not. And whose relationship is it? It's our relationship. It's my relationship. You're responsible for your relationships. And sometimes we have to be honest. And sometimes we have to say, I didn't like it when you did that. Or I'm not comfortable with that. Or would you please work on that? And as long as we do that about every 13th time we talk to someone, we're okay. One of my great mentors was Earl Nightingale, and he said that relationships are what's called a divergent problem. You have two different kinds of problems, convergent and divergent. Convergent is, I got this issue, and if I work on it long enough, it'll converge and come together and be resolved. Relationships are resolved and then they're not, and then they're resolved and then they're not, and they're resolved and then they're not. It's like skiing behind a wake on a boat. Sometimes you're behind, oh, I'm off again. Oh, a minute, I'm... And you know what? They're supposed to be that way. According to Reader's Digest, happy couples argue once a week. So just relax, enjoy your relationships, and remember, they're your relationships. And if you want to be nurtured, nurture. You want to be satisfied, be satisfied. And if you want honesty, be honest. Take somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, as we hold hands right now, it reminds us of our interconnectivity, that we are all connected with one another. We are one in the same spirit. And that spirit is love. And as we are together, we discover that, we express that, and we live that all the more. And we are even happier in our relationships. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.